Welcome to the EQ Fit Podcast. Our mission is to equip people to prosper in every aspect of their life. Whether you're at home or in the workplace, we explore practical ways of improving success, satisfaction, finding balance, and building enjoyable and beneficial relationships. Thank you for joining us. You know, over the years, I've had people ask me, how can you measure the things you say you can measure? And my answer is usually something like, very carefully. And I don't mean to be flippant about that. I want to add humor into what I do because a lot of what I do can be pretty serious, especially if we're working in an intervention mode or where the culture is toxic or where there's some other things going on that just aren't all that positive. But then I'll answer them more openly and truthfully and say, listen, when you understand what you can measure and how each of these different measures comes together to give you a clarity of insight that you couldn't get any other way, and then you use something like that for 35 or 40 years, that's how I know I can measure what I say I'm going to measure. And today we're going to talk about one of those things. We're going to talk about measuring chemistry. And we're going to talk about that from two perspectives. From a leader being able to cultivate chemistry in their team, a good chemistry that will enhance connection and collaboration. But we're also going to look at it from the point of measuring the chemistry in a team. And we can do both of those things. We can measure those skills in a leader or a candidate for a leader's role, and we can measure those skills and the current reality of chemistry in a team itself. So let's talk about that. Team chemistry is far beyond whether somebody's compatible or not. It's the glue that binds individual people into a high-performing team. In many ways, chemistry in teams is the product of two really important things, empathy and people skills. I'll talk a little bit more about those later. These two closely related qualities enable team members to understand each other, respect their differences, and collaborate effectively. When a team has great chemistry, you can almost feel it in the air. You literally can sense it. That this team really has good chemistry. And I hope you've been a part of that. If you haven't been a part of a team like that, try to figure out how to get there because it is a huge blessing to be able to work in a team like that. I have a team like that right now in my organization, EQ Fit. I love working with my team. And I've got a couple of strategic partners that I work with, and I love working with them as a team. And that really makes our work so much more valuable, not just to our customers, but to ourselves. So when a team has that great chemistry and you can really feel it, there's open communication, there's trust, there's a collective drive to reach shared goals. And in many cases, there's shared values in that. On the opposite side, when a team is lacking chemistry, even the most talented professionals can find themselves mired in conflict, misunderstanding, and stagnation, or just being stuck. So we're going to explore why chemistry in teams matters. Also, how it influences a team's performance and functioning. And we're going to look at how leaders can purposefully cultivate chemistry by leveraging empathy and people skills. And those are the critical skills for a leader to be able to generate, cultivate, and grow the chemistry that they want in their teams. Now, how are we going to actually measure this empathy and people skills? We're going to do it through a variety of assessments specifically selected to do that. For the leader, we're going to look at mindsets and motivators, the why behind the way they do things. We're also going to look at emotional intelligence assessments. We're going to look at habit story assessment, where we're measuring productive and counterproductive habits, where we're measuring response patterns and emotional states. From all of those different kinds of assessments, including personality assessments, and notice I leave that one last because that's kind of where everybody else starts. Oh, let's do a personality assessment and we'll know how everybody's doing and who they are and we'll be all good. Well, I hate to disabuse anybody of the fact that one assessment is all you need because it isn't. Frankly, one assessment will give you just enough information to create some bias and not really understand the totality of what's going on. Is it better to use one assessment than no assessments? Yeah, sure. But the way you use assessments, don't go beyond what they're intended to do. And I say that because so many people out there are doing a do-it-yourself approach to assessments. And all I'm saying to you is good for you. You're on the right path, but don't stop at just a personality assessment because it isn't even the most important assessment you can do. There are so many other dimensions of assessments that can add incredible insight. And putting all of those things together gives you far better insight, better data, better decisions, better outcomes. That's what we want. So let's talk a little bit to start with about team chemistry, because I think that's kind of the outcome we want, is really, really good team chemistry. Where does that come from? What does it look like? Well, heightened collaboration. A team that has empathy and good people skills naturally communicates more effectively. Members feel comfortable voicing their opinions. They trust one another to provide honest, constructive feedback. And I'm going to do an entire series down the road on constructive feedback because a culture of constructive feedback will get you farther faster than just about anything else in an organization headed toward organizational health and vitality, which is what where we want to go. So what else does good team chemistry bring? Strong trust and mutual support. Research published in the Harvard Business Review suggests that teams that report higher levels of empathy experience less turnover and greater well-being. When team members trust each other, they're more willing to take risks and to innovate. What else can we get out of excellence in a team chemistry? Efficient conflict resolution, and this is a big one. Conflict is inevitable. It's going to happen. But remember, conflict doesn't mean confrontation. It doesn't have to be confrontation. People may have differing opinions or points of view or even different perspectives, but that is conflict that just needs to be resolved. But if we have excellence in our team chemistry, our team is going to have the chemistry necessary to address those disagreements promptly. Their empathy is going to kick in and help them see issues from everybody's perspective, while their people skills are going to encourage respectful dialogue. I use a kind of a analogy, I guess, around this. If there is a disagreement, you can argue from a principle, which is what's good for everybody, or you can argue from a position, which is usually what's just good for me. And I have some people that say, I don't understand the difference. I say, okay, here's the difference. A principle is when we all gather together in the open and talk about things and work things out with each other in a friendly, cordial way. A positional argument is where you dig trenches and throw hand grenades at each other. Obviously, not literally. But hey, have you ever been in one of those disagreements where people are throwing verbal hand grenades at each other? It happens, and emotional drivers are getting out of hand and people are being triggered, and we don't want that. We do not want that in the workplace. So this thing of empathy and people skills is critical to getting the chemistry that you want. And positional arguments aren't practicing empathy. They're just looking for what's in it for me. So teams with poor chemistry, what happens? Low engagement levels. A lack of empathy fosters misunderstanding and resentment. People feel undervalued or misunderstood. Productivity wanes as frustration and confusion set in. Ineffective communication. Without solid people skills, team members may withhold feedback or resort to unproductive confrontations, leading to errors, rework, and damaged relationships. By the way, that can lead to toxicity, even to a hostile work environment. And those are things we absolutely do not want. There's going to be increased turnover when chemistry is poor. According to a 2019 Gallup poll on workplace engagement, one of the top reasons employees leave is a toxic or unsupportive team environment. In other words, poor chemistry directly influences attrition. I want you to think about this for just a second before we move on and talk about some other things. This is a choice. Chemistry is either whatever you tolerate, or you can choose to be more intentional and get better results. It is a choice. Is it going to take some effort to get good chemistry in your team? Absolutely. But it is far beyond, in return on investment, what you would put into it. You're going to get far more value out of it if you do it. And frankly, don't we want to enjoy the place we go and spend a lot of hours every day? I do. So it's definitely worth the investment. So what's the leader's role in all of this? Leaders are pivotal in setting the tone for team chemistry. They not only model the behaviors they want to see, but they also help to shape the relational dynamics within the group. How do they do that? They set good boundaries. They give good ground rules. They practice empathy and people skills to show others how to do it well. When leaders apply empathy, actively seeking to understand thoughts, feelings, and motivations, and demonstrate strong people skills, here's what they positively influence. And it's quite a list. I'm going to list these out. Number one, behavior. They influence behavior. Positive role modeling. A leader who treats others with compassion and respect encourages similar behavior among their team members. And there is consistent accountability in behavior. Empathetic leaders can provide corrective feedback in a manner that feels supportive instead of punitive. What's the other thing or things that a leader can impact or influence? Number two, communication. Open dialogue. Leaders with strong interpersonal skills invite open discussions. They ask good questions. They actively listen. This environment of psychological safety ensures that everyone's ideas are valued. There's also clarity in messaging. Empathy allows leaders to interpret team members' unspoken signals, frustration, confusion, excitement, uncertainty, whatever it may be, so they can tailor the messages accordingly. If you've ever had a leader communicate with you highly effectively, it's because you feel like that communication was designed for you. Whether it was intended that way or not, that's what we perceive. But if you've ever been communicated to by a leader and it just kind of fell on deaf ears, it's probably because it was a generic message that you just didn't resonate with you. All right, what else can a leader influence with empathy and people skills? Their own leadership and the leadership of each of their team members. Because, as I've said before, everybody's a leader. They lead themselves first, and then they lead other people. Inclusive decision-making is a part of that. People skills enable leaders to engage each person's unique perspectives. By incorporating diverse viewpoints, leaders create buy-in and they foster a sense of ownership. And we definitely want that sense of ownership, because when that kicks in, there are some very important other benefits to that. People start to take initiative. They start to be proactive. They think ahead. They don't just wait for somebody to tell them what to do. There's so much good that can come out of that ownership mindset. Also, under this ability to create good leadership through these skills, motivation and morale is a big benefit. When leaders genuinely empathize, they connect people's work to their values and their aspirations, which fuels intrinsic motivation, which is what we want. We don't want to have to provide extrinsic or external motivation to people all the time, because that's exhausting. We need to engage their intrinsic motivation, their internal battery, their internal motivation, so that they are self-driving. Number four, area of influence by a leader who practices empathy and people skills, goal setting. Shared vision. Leaders who understand individuals' motivations can align personal and organizational goals for maximum engagement. So what does that look like? Well, it isn't just static, right? Adaptive targets. Empathy helps identify when team members are overloaded or under-challenged, allowing leaders to trust objectives before they burn out or complacency sets in them or their team members. What's the fifth area that a leader practicing empathy and people skills can have a lot of influence in? This one is a no-brainer. Relationships. Strong bonds. People skills help leaders build rapport quickly. These genuine connections form a foundation of trust and mutual respect. And then we put empathy into action here. Empathetic leaders notice when someone is struggling, whether personally or professionally, and offer support, strengthening the team unity. Now, the sixth area, I told you there was a long list here. The sixth area, social skills. Number one is building bridges. Leaders adept at reading social cues diffuse tension before it escalates. They also foster collaboration by connecting team members who can help each other succeed. They also have cultural sensitivity. Empathy allows leaders to recognize cultural nuances, adapt communication styles, and celebrate diverse backgrounds. Okay, that's quite a list. We've talked about measuring chemistry in teams. We've talked about measuring the skills of creating good chemistry in leaders themselves. Now we're going to move into, how do we actually measure these things? So before I get into how we use the different assessments I've mentioned to measure chemistry in leaders and in their skills to create good chemistry in teams and chemistry in teams, I want to share a story that I think is really indicative of the challenge out there. Many years ago, I had a business owner come to me and say, "Steve, I'm really struggling with the culture of my company." And I asked him, "Help me understand, what is it that you're struggling with?" And he said, "I just have a culture that I don't like. It's toxic. I don't like it." I said, "Okay, how did it get that way?" And he was very honest with me. He said, "Steve, I have been working so hard on creating the business and then growing the business and doing all of the things I need to do in the areas of sales and financials and trying to manage things and trying to expand and put all the things in place process-wise, I just haven't paid much attention to these other things that I know are important, but I just can't figure out what to do. So, long story short, because believe me, this is a very long story, many years worth of work, I set in on a number of meetings. We started a culture change initiative. And the very first thing we did was we created a leadership guiding coalition. That's kind of a fancy phrase to say we got all the leaders together and said, okay, what can we all agree on are the shared values that we want to head towards and the ground rules to get there and the fact that you're all going to commit to it. Because at the end of creating these shared values that the organization will operate on and the ground rules that we all agree to, you know, how to deal with all these different things and do the right things the right way, you're all going to sign that document. You're going to put your name on there. And so we went through a process of doing that. We interviewed, I had a couple of other partners helping me with this project. And we did interviews with all of the leadership, with several of the boots on the ground employees, and came up with a really good picture that wasn't really pretty. Organizations get the culture they tolerate. And this is exactly what's happened in this organization. Sometimes we don't do as good a job as we would like to in some of the things we're not as comfortable with. And this owner was very comfortable with the technology and the operational side of his business, but not so much the people side, and certainly not culture and all of the things that go into creating a good culture. Well, to bring this back to the focus for today, which is chemistry. The chemistry when we started in teams and in the entire organization was all over the board. There were one or two teams worked really well together. The rest of them did not. None of the teams worked well with other teams. So the organization was suffering as a whole. And there was a lot of toxicity. There was a lot of favoritism. There was a lot of loyalty outside of trust. And when you get loyalty outside of trust, basically we're talking politics. You do this for me, I'll do this for you, quid pro quo, all of that kind of thing. This is why it's so important when I share this with you, because it has a direct impact on the culture of an organization, the future of individuals, teams, and the entire organization. It has a direct impact on people, which my heart is to equip people to prosper. I want people to thrive, but they can't thrive if they don't have an environment that allows them to thrive. And that's why we talk about these specific areas. So many people will hear what I'm saying and they'll just shut it off because that sounds too complicated. It's not worth it. I'm going to tell you right now, if you'll invest your energy, your effort, and your resources into something like this that I'm talking about, it'll change your life. It'll change the lives of people around you. It is truly a transformational experience. And that's what's important here. We are not designed to stay the same. We are designed to transform, to change, to grow, but to do it in an intelligent fashion, not just to let things happen and hope they come out okay. Okay, enough of the sermon. Let me move back to the main body of what we're focused on today. So what are the assessments and how do they play into understanding chemistry from these two perspectives, from a leadership skill perspective, but also from measuring chemistry in teams. Well, let's talk mindsets and motivators. What does it measure? The underlying values, beliefs, and drivers that guide leaders' decisions and their interpersonal interactions. And by the way, this can be used for a team member as well. I'm going to focus more on leadership right now, but these things can be used for individual team members just as well. Why does this matter? Why does this measure of mindsets and motivators matter? Leaders who are aware of their own and their team's motivators can better align tasks, roles, and rewards with what truly energizes people, what engages people, and we want higher engagement levels. The last measure I saw in the United States from Gallup was that the engagement level in organizations right now is at about 35%. That's one-third of the employees. That means one-third of employees, on average, are giving their best to the organization. That's not really a good score. Like to see that. Well, to give you an idea, top performing organizations, that engagement number is somewhere between 70 and 90%. Whole different ballgame. Think about what your organization would look like if it got to that 70 to 90% engagement level. So we also measure emotional intelligence skills. And I have many different assessments to do this. Some of these are actually 360 assessments for leaders and team assessments that measure the critical drivers in a team to help them be successful. What are the success factors for a team? Well, let me give you the five that we measure in a team vital signs survey. Trust, execution, motivation, teamwork, and the ability to embrace change and move forward through change. So they just call it change. But think about that. Trust, execution, motivation, teamwork, and change. If you can measure those things in a leader or in a team or in an entire organization through what we call the vital signs toolbox, you're going to have data you just can't get this data anywhere else. Nobody else measures it and gives you actionable data. Oh yeah, you can go do climate surveys on. It's not going to be actionable data. You're going to get this big, huge binder of information that most people have no idea what to do with that because they're not designed for transformation. That's why I love the assessments that I use. Now, what about these other emotional intelligence assessments? The ability to recognize, understand, and manage your own emotions and those of other people, it helps to give us an understanding of where we are. So self-awareness, self-regulation, empathy, motivation, and social skills. Those are the five big categories that we're watching when we measure emotional intelligence skills. And for leaders, those are absolutely critical. Leadership is not about the technology. It is not about experience and skills in operational things. Leadership is influence, it's motivation, it's inspiration, it's encouragement, it's coaching. It is the relational aspects. It is the soft skills that so many people talk about. That's what we measure in emotional intelligence and why it's important. And again, we can measure those same things for individuals as we do for leaders. Then I want to talk about this newer assessment that I'm using called the Habit Story Assessment. It measures deep-rooted behavioral patterns. 46% of our daily decisions and actions are done habitually, which basically means with almost no thought. They're just a habit, right? Well, that's almost half of your daily decisions and actions. So don't you want those to be the very best they can be? I would. I do. And I'm working on that for myself. If we understand our habits, whether they're productive or counterproductive, we can really understand, are our habits helping us or holding us back? And then when we understand those things, we can start to make a difference for our team members. We can be a leader worth following. Habits shape everyday interactions, influencing whether leaders consistently demonstrate empathy and people skills. By pointing unproductive habits out, or what we might even think of as a default setting, but it's unproductive. When we see that, we can start to replace those with more productive habits that give us better outcomes. That's a quick look at the assessments. As always, I encourage people, if you want to talk more about assessments, because I have dozens of them that I'm certified in, and you really want to talk to somebody who's certified in multiple different types of assessments, if you want to talk assessments, because you really want to get good insights. The best assessment process is the one that fits the specific situation with the right assessments at the right time, at the right level for whatever it is you're trying to do. And all of that can be done with a simple conversation with somebody like me. If it isn't me, find somebody who's certified in all those different kinds of assessments. Happy to have that conversation. Okay, let's pull this together. We're measuring chemistry in two ways. Measuring the skills that will help a leader build the chemistry that is important for a team to operate at its highest level, but also measuring team chemistry to know what's the outcome. How are we doing? How's the leader doing with that team? So let's focus in on the outcomes. If we do a good job here, how will it impact certain areas? Well, how about hiring for the right fit? If we think about leveraging these skills, we're looking beyond resumes when we're hiring. We're taking mindsets and motivators, EQ assessments, habit story assessment, maybe even some other assessments. And we're truly trying to understand, is the candidate someone who's going to fit on all of this multidimensional fit matrix that I look at? Fit to experience? Yeah. Fit to skills? Absolutely. But more, fit to the position, fit to the team, fit to the leader, fit to the organization, fit to the culture, fit to the values. That's what fit looks like. And by using assessments in the hiring process, number one, a leader who has good empathy and people skills knows how to read data on these assessments and knows what they're looking for in candidates. On the other side of that, if we're hiring for a leadership role or even just hiring a team member, these kinds of measures give us a data-driven approach to ensure that we get the right fit. And we want to reduce turnover too, because that is incredibly expensive. So when we know we're getting the right fit, we're going to reduce turnover. One of the biggest areas for this focus on chemistry is developing people and developing the team. If we can grow the skills of empathy and people skills, which is going to include things like self-awareness, by using these assessments, we highlight specific areas where leaders and team members can improve their emotional intelligence and their interpersonal effectiveness. That's going to have a direct impact on improving chemistry in the team. And it's also going to help to set up an ongoing feedback loop, because when people feel safe, they feel like they're being supported, they're getting good constructive feedback, it is going to take short-term soft skill improvements into long-term strengths. That's what we're looking for, a transformational process. And of course, chemistry is a big deal when it comes to culture. If we can embed a practice of empathy, our organizational culture that will value and support an empathetic approach is going to foster stronger relationships, more effective communication, and a willingness to collaborate. That's so critical, because otherwise it's a constant battle just to get things done. And none of us wants to be there. We want to be productive and we want to enjoy the work that we're doing. The other thing that can happen here, when we create the right chemistry, we can sustain high-performing teams. People skills drive not only collective success, but they also drive well-being. If we truly care about people and practice people skills, we're going to have a much healthier organization, because individuals and teams are going to be healthier in every way, in a multidimensional aspect. Engaged, fulfilled teams outperform competitors in innovation, service quality, and financial results. And that comes right out of a study by Sherness and Goleman, The Emotionally Intelligent Workplace. So there's real dollars involved in everything we're talking about. Team chemistry may sometimes kind of feel intangible and hard to wrap your brain around, yet it directly shapes how people work together, how they innovate, how they handle challenges. At its core, great chemistry hinges on empathy and people skills, the human elements that transform a group of talented individuals into a cohesive, high-performing team. And we do this in a more intentional way by integrating these assessments to ensure that our leaders are equipped to create the chemistry in their teams that we want and that they need and that their team members need to thrive, because that's what this is all about. And when you use these tools, whether it's for hiring or developing people or creating a better culture, you're going to have a more data-driven approach, so you know where you're going. It's like we have a roadmap now. We don't have to just jump in the vehicle and hope we get where we want to go. We have an actual roadmap. What I call, if I'm hiring, our hiring process, we call talent foresight. We're looking at talent and we're gaining foresight into how they're going to perform and whether or not they'll be successful. If it's for developing people, we call it precision path. We have a precision path based on good validated data that we can set the roadmap out for somebody to develop. And that's what it's all about, because this is a journey that's important, and we don't want to miss all of the good things along the way in the journey just to try and rush ourselves to a destination, because that's where life is lived. It's lived in the journey. Thank you for joining us for this episode. If you have any questions about this week's episode, or maybe a suggestion for future episodes you'd like us to explore, please contact us through our website at eqfit.org. For more information and inspiration, connect with us on LinkedIn, Facebook, and YouTube at eqfit.org.